The Keys are closed to tourists. How long will the overseas highway be blocked? Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Anyone trying to drive down to the Keys will find a highway patrol stopping you at the first island. If you don't work or live in the Keys, you can't enter. Is this a harbinger of things to come for cities across the state? Also,
we tried to do takeout and delivery, but it really wasn't working for us. As a business owner, we tried to cope with our employees, but this economically, it's going to be very hard.
Some restaurants are trying to keep business open. If this pandemic stretches into the summer, how will an industry that already has a great deal of turnover survive these times? We want to hear from those working in the restaurant industry. 1-800-743-9576. All of that today on Sundial. First, the news. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us today. Governor Ron DeSantis spoke today from Hard Rock Stadium with county mayors across our listening area, announcing a new executive order.
We're all here today to say that we want to win the fight against COVID-19. And so what I'm going to be doing is signing an executive order that codifies a common set of rules regarding safer at home for Southeast Florida. This will build off what Mayor Jimenez has already done and gets all four counties operating under the same sheet of music. And the reason why this is important is because we have 60% of the cases in the state of Florida are in Southeast Florida.
Well, among the aggressive measures now being implemented to restrict travel across South Florida, a new checkpoint on US 1 preventing tourists from coming to the Florida Keys. For a region built on tourism, how is Monroe County weathering this new type of storm? We head now to our southernmost city to hear from Mayor Terry Johnston in Key West. Mayor Johnston, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
And I want to hear from Key West residents and visitors. What's your experience been like so far dealing with these new restrictions? Closed hotels, closed beaches, closed vacation rentals? Give us a call, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. You could reach us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Well, Mayor Johnston, first, how are you and the community of Key West doing right now?
Well, I think we're doing exactly what all the rest of the communities are doing in the United States and the world, is that we're trying to react to something that none of us have seen in our lifetime, and a situation that's changing hourly, and trying to keep the health and welfare of our residents paramount in our mind. And moving in those directions, there's some very restrictive directives that are going on out there. And I think it's just really important that we understand the magnitude of this pandemic and the impact that it has on us, and the fact that we have a very short window of time in order to do the right thing to give our healthcare professionals a fighting chance to get ahead of this thing.
What are the differences and what are the similarities between this and, you know, when you had to deal with Hurricane Irma, when you had to deal with a natural disaster?
Well, they're very different, and you know, it comes to mind every single day. First of all, a hurricane, you know, you've got to start and you've got to finish to it. And you open your door after a hurricane and your roof may be gone or a tree may be down, or and you know exactly what you need to do to mitigate those issues, to come back, to have a normal lifestyle. And we're not in that scenario. I get asked probably 25 times a day, when's the end point? You know, when do we turn this around? When do we open up the town for tourism? When can we go back to work? You know, when are we not going to be worried about our next paycheck? And there's not an answer out there. My answer has been patently when it's safe, when I can assure that it's safe for all of you to go back to a normal lifestyle.
And what's it like when you talk to people who they can't, it's hard to grasp for any of us, the idea of like, there's no end. We don't know where it is yet. And the president's already come out and now he said, no, we're going to have to wait till the end of April. And again, that could get pushed even further. But when you have those conversations and you see the other person struggling with that, and they're like, I don't know how to survive that. What do you say then?
Well, there are a number of programs that have been put into place. And if you've ever been down to Key West, you know that we are, we live by one human community. And everyone is there for a neighbor, for someone out of work. People have stepped up like I have never seen before. It's so heartwarming. You know, for every telephone call I get asking me if the city is going to pay your rent, I get three telephone calls saying, how can I help? What can I do? Where do you need volunteers? Where do you need money? And that's what's going to pull this community out of it and back on our feet.
The number again is 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. Or find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. If you live in the Keys, tell us, share with us right now what's going on with you and how you are handling these new restrictions. And again, the fact that they have shut the US 1 down and nobody who doesn't live down there or doesn't work down there cannot enter. Mayor, this was reported last week, and I wanted to clear something up. I mean, it was reported by the news media, but I don't think that the county had yet, you know, actually made it official at that point. But what was the issue with that?
With what?
Announcing checkpoint? Yeah, the checkpoints.
Well, I think that there was somewhat of a disagreement whether we needed the checkpoint or not. And clearly, if you're a municipality in the northern part of Monroe County, like Key Largo and Alamorada and Tavernier, there was a great deal of influx of Miami-Dade, other communities coming down, you know, for a day trip, to use the boat ramp, to go out on the water, to shop in the grocery stores because maybe there's a little less traffic through our grocery stores than what they're experiencing. So it was a very different situation in the Northern Keys. So we are on conference calls every single day with every municipality in the Keys, and they had a dire need to do something different, to restrict the people that are coming into Key West by essential service category. And, you know, that's anybody that has business here or lives in the county. But that's not what we were getting. We were getting people coming down for a day trip just to drive to see if they could get on a beach, you know, knowing that every one of our beaches is closed, trying to get into a park, knowing that every one of our parks are closed. And it was just creating a situation that was detrimental to the health of our county.
Key West resident Arlo Haskell tweeted at us saying, quote, I'm staying home, making the most of the time with family, even having fun. Never been happier to have only one road in or out and one roadblock at the top to keep us safe. Arlo Haskell, author who's also been on the show many times. The thing, though, is this. And I've talked to city mayors now from across South Florida. As this was happening, you know, look, we're in February and March, and that's a busy time for us. It's a great time for lots of tourists, visitors, spring break, and everything else. But we see this happening. We see this coming. And we saw what it did in China. When did the conversation start in Key West, in the Keys, as to, hey, this is coming and we're going to have to do something maybe even drastic?
Right. And the conversation, I will fully admit the conversation started late. I mean, we started pulling together things about mid-January. Well, mid-January, you know, we're sitting here in the height of tourist season, and then we move right into spring break. So, you know, I don't think any community here in the state of Florida will say that we started, as soon as we should have. And,
But when you think about this, when you look back now, we had spring breakers on beaches partying. Yes. And we don't even know what that probably did. But I mean, is there a regret now as to why wait? Why did we wait?
Well, I think it was lack of information that came down, quite frankly. And I do, you know, one of the things that we did right off the bat was we shut down Smathers Beach. Smathers Beach is our public beach here in Key West that has historically been the site for spring breakers. But unfortunately, you know, we didn't have continuity and there were other beaches open. So, you know, you shut one beach down and it simply moves the crowd to another beach. And so we, one by one by one, took, you know, what some people have labeled draconian measures, you know, to shut down everywhere that you can't guarantee that people are not going to gather in groups of 10 or larger. So, you know, I think you try and give people an opportunity to get outside, get some fresh air, you know, to get some exercise and try and stay healthy during this pandemic. And then we would find that there would be congregation points. So one by one, we shut them down. We shut as many things down. In fact, the entire city of Key West is pretty much shut down at this point.
Right.
Should it have been sooner? Absolutely, it should have been.
We're talking with Key West Mayor Terry Johnston, and we want to hear from you if you live in the Keys. You know, tell us how this is affecting you. Again, there is a checkpoint keeping everybody out. You cannot, if you don't live in the Keys, if you don't work down there, you cannot go down US 1. How is that affecting you, your business, your life right now? Give us a call, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. Or find us on Facebook and Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Mayor, this morning, Governor DeSantis announced that he's going to sign an executive order codifying the safer at home. You saw this happen in Miami-Dade and Broward counties. I mean, how is this going to be enforced? How do you see it being enforced? How do you think this will work in the Keys and Key West?
Well, I think it's, you know, hopefully it's going to be enforced personally. We have, every single day we've gotten out the message that we are going to pull out of this faster if people take personal responsibility for their own health and for the health of others. And on the most part, we have had exceptional compliance. We really have. And what we're finding right now is that in a city of 25,000 people, we now have about 24,900 extra police officers here because we get notified every time there is a gathering over 10, every time somebody feels that there is a violation of a vacation rental or a an Airbnb rental, anytime anyone feels that you know, you are serving beyond the delivery and takeout guidelines for our restaurant. So we've got a lot of people helping us police it right now, believe me.
And with the police, you know, what are they being told to do? Are they going to arrest people or just hand out fines?
Well, we have been trying right now to do a common sense enforcement. And for the most part, it works. It works very well. I mean, people know when they shouldn't be out. People tried to go to Hicks Beach for weeks, and while it was fine for a while, it then became one of the local gathering spots where we had to close that down also. But all in all, we were finding exceptional compliance to the guidelines. And if we don't, then we are going to have to hand out some type of citation. And so far, we haven't had to hand out a citation yet, but I anticipate we'll get to that point.
All right. Again, the number 800-743-9576. Let's go to the phones. I've got Tony in Key West. Tony, thanks so much for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. First of all, I want to shout out to Mayor Johnston. I had the privilege of serving with her at the City Commission a few years back, and she's been a great leader throughout this whole thing. Steve will hand on the tiller, if I may. I'm happy that the county finally came on board and enforcing, you know, closing down of certain areas. But my understanding is that the FAA is still allowing for tourists to fly into Key West International Airport. Now, that may have changed in the last 48 hours or so, but I think that's the missing piece. And quite frankly, I've had friends tell me they've called code enforcement on people that are coming down and renting a house, people from New York, people from San Francisco, stuff like that. So I think the big question is we're doing what we can locally, but when is the federal government going to step in and make sure that we do not get any people flying in from the outside that could bring the virus?
Tony, thank you for the call. Mayor, people still flying in or maybe even coming in by boat?
Yep, and that's a great question from Tony because he sits there on Flagler Avenue and sees as many flights come in to the city of Key West as I do over on Washington Street. And it is a concern. Every airport in the United States is under the jurisdiction of FAA, and they have not, to my knowledge, you know, at least up until the last hour, they have not closed down one airport. Here's what we're doing at the Key West Airport. The governor has issued an emergency order stating that the residents from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and now the state of Louisiana have been dictated as hotspots.
Right.
So we have the manifest for any plane coming into the city of Key West, and any resident coming from those areas is cordoned off in an isolation area. Their temperature is taken. They are issued a copy of the governor's order requiring them to go into a 14-day self-quarantine. We take their name down, and we take the address of their home in Key West or in the Lower Keys, wherever their home is. But many of these people that are coming in right now, I don't know how many people realize it, but Key West is a community right now where 60% of our homes are second, third, fourth, and fifth homeowners.
Right.
So we have certainly a property rights issue where you are able to come to your home. So if you are coming to your home, however you're coming from those four states, we are requiring you to go into a 14-day self-quarantine.
Very good point to make. Again, we're talking with Key West Mayor Terry Johnston. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and take more of your calls. Again, the number 800-743-9576. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Let's get back to our conversation with Key West Mayor Terry Johnston. And we want to hear from you if you live in the Keys, or you know, maybe you are one of those folks who has a place down there and you want to get back. The number again, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. Facebook or Twitter us at WLRN Sundial. Mayor, you know, I mean, the thing too about Key West is you got a lot of mom and pop shops. You know, the big companies will take a hit, they'll survive, but those smaller shops, I mean, if you're talking about going into the summer, maybe even into the fall, and we're just barely getting, you know, back to normal, how many people have you talked to that they're concerned they're not going to survive this?
Every one of them are concerned about that. And that is one of the reasons that we have been so pleased with the work that our Congresswoman Debbie McCarthy Powell has done for us at the congressional level. Because we do, you know, the first and second stimulus package that came out obviously addressed a couple issues. The third stimulus package that came out also addressed a number of businesses to help them survive. But we do. I mean, we've got businesses down here that are single owners, no employees. We've got people down here certainly that are hourly, that make their livelihood via tips. And that was one of the missing links, I think. So our Congresswoman has been very active in soliciting information and issues from us in order to take back to Washington. And we are really counting on a fourth stimulus package that addresses every one of our small business people. As a city of Key West, we have a number of tenants, and we are working with every one of our tenants the same way that we would after a hurricane.
Yeah.
But we are setting down. We are encouraging everyone to go out there to the Small Business Association and get bridge loans, see what's out there for everyone, and then we've got to take care of each other.
Before I go back to the phones, I wanted to ask you about medical facilities, and you have an urgent care facility. You have, some other medical facilities there in Key West, but speaking with those offices and doctors, are they ready? If in case you do get a large number of people who get sick.
Yeah, that's the reason we came out with the strongest measures before anyone else, is we sit down here at the end of the earth. We have a 167-bed hospital. We do have two urgent care centers, but that's what made it paramount for us to react as quickly as we did and as forcefully as we did, is that it is so important that we make sure that we give our hospitals and our urgent care and our physicians a fighting chance with this, because we do have limited facilities. I mean, there isn't any doubt about it.
And if you have an overrun of patients, then what happens? They have to come up to Miami-Dade, or?
Well, we do have an emergency protocol in place, and it does involve the Navy, and the Navy setting up isolation tents at the Lower Keys Medical Center. But that's, again, our objective as city government is to make sure that we have done everything in our power to damp down any type of surge that we could possibly have in Key West in order to give them a chance to really handle the cases and keep them under control.
All right, I want to go back to the phones. I have Everall in Homestead. Everall, you're a beekeeper.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me, you're a beekeeper, but in the Keys?
Yeah, I keep bees in the Keys, and no, you know, we have the bees down there. We got to get to them at least twice a week to give them water and other stuff, you know, give them room because they're making honey right now down there. And I just wonder if we're going to have a problem getting down here to bees. That's going to create a big problem for us.
Have you tried to go down there?
Well, I'm on my way there right now with my certificate of apiary from the agricultural office. I don't know if they're going to accept it or not. I just want to. I heard you have the mayor on there, so I just want to put a word in that, you know, if she can inform them that the beekeepers need to get in to take care of the bees.
So let's find out, mayor. I mean, the restrictions on getting in. What exactly do they say? Who can get in?
Well, any essential service can get down, and I would certainly think that this situation qualifies for that. But it comes down to documentation. You need a letter from your employer. You need a business license. You need, you know, just something to say that you have a valid reason for being in Key West, that you're not a day tripper coming down to, you know, to see if a beach is open. So if you have valid documentation, they are reviewing that and they are allowing people through. You know, it's a really common sense situation at our checkpoint right now, and they're doing an excellent job. So I would say if you've got the documentation, you've got the letterhead, present it to them, and I believe you'll be fine.
Everall, good luck to you, and thank you so much for sharing, and hopefully you get to your bees, all right?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to go there right now and give them this letter I have here.
All right. Well, hopefully he can get down. It sounds like he has everything he needs. Mayor, what about testing? What kind of testing is available right now in Key West?
Well, I think there's a limited amount of testing, as there is all over the state of Florida. You know, we're hearing that Abbott Labs has a new test. We're hearing that we have a number of other options. I don't believe that we have received anywhere near the amount of tests that we need to conduct in order to make sure that we understand who is positive and who is not positive with this virus. So we are awaiting. We are on a conference call every single day with our hospitals and our urgent care centers and our physicians, and we have a number of people who are waiting on tests. They're not only waiting on tests, but they're waiting on PPEs, and rarely do we hear that somebody has had their entire requisition order filled.
Yeah. Just to shift things a little bit, is obviously during this time, and I'd imagine it's got to be really strange to walk down Duval Street and you don't see all the visitors and everything is just closed, and that has to be just very odd to see. But during this time, the city's going to be doing some work, especially on Duval Street, because you want to fix things. If you're going to do anything, now is the time to do it, right?
We thought, you know, if there was one little glimmer of positive in this, it's at the fact that we can go in and do infrastructure improvements on Duval Street where we're not hurting our businesses because they are temporarily closed right now. So we took the opportunity and we geared up in about a 2-day period of time, and we are repaving the roads. We're repainting the historical street lamps, taking the gum off the sidewalks, power washing those, you know, taking graffiti off, replacing signage, and we're doing everything that we can so that when we reopen for business, it is a brand new, pristine Key West.
And you know, there's something interesting, and just real briefly, I'm going to wrap on this, but look, Key West has been through a lot in its history, from, you know, war to fire to hurricanes, and always comes back. So this, we're all going to come back.
We absolutely are.
But what's going to change? How will this change us? How will it change Key West?
Well, I think we have to have a conversation about where our vulnerabilities are, and this is certainly pointed out, you know, a number of them. you know, how do we want to do business? You know, how do we want to protect ourselves? How do we want to protect our visitors? And we have already started having conversations in that vein. I think families are going to be different. You know, what you appreciate, you know, how you make a living, how you interact with each other. And this is a pause for reflection in all of us right now.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see communities all over the United States and the world come out of this different than when we came in.
And hopefully better. Key West Mayor.
Sure.
Key West Mayor Terry Johnson, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Please stay safe.
Thank you so much. You also.
All right. Still to come. How are you supporting your local restaurants? Are you still getting takeout? We're going to hear from owners and employees working in the food biz. That's next. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, the impact of this coronavirus is being felt hard in the food industry. WLRN has heard from many restaurant owners and employees about shifting operations to try to stay open, closing and laying off much of their staff. Today, we're going to hear from some managers that had to make those very difficult decisions and how they're continuing to operate at this time. Matt Kusher is the owner of Kush Hospitality, which owns includes five different restaurants and delis across Miami-Dade County. Mr. Kusher, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. I'm here for you.
And also joining us is Sarah Tafour. She is with Sarah Lou Confections in Miami Shores. She bakes custom cakes. Ms. Tafour, such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Definitely. And, of course, we want to hear from you if you work in the food industry. Has your business had to close or reduce hours? Share your story with us, your concerns. Maybe you worked as a waiter, a waitress, worked as a chef, worked in the food line, prep line, whatever it is. Give us a call, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. Find us on social media, WLRN Sundial. I want to start by hearing from each of you how this coronavirus has impacted you personally and your families. Mr. Kusher, I'll start with you.
Yeah, honestly, you know, I'm perfectly fine. This is not, my family's good. It's really my employees and the people that, you know, are living paycheck to paycheck that is what's keeping me up at night. Nothing about what's going on with me personally is a big deal. If I have to close a restaurant, then so be it. But I'm really concerned and scared about my employees, and that's kind of the only reason why I'm even talking is just to get the information out that, you know, there's a lot of people that live paycheck to paycheck, and that's the big concern about this whole process.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and having spent so many years, I remember in college working in restaurants, you live on tips. You know, if you don't have that coming in, then you're in trouble. Ms. Tafour, how about you? How is this affecting you personally?
Well, I think personally, not too much, but for my family, yes. We have a couple of family members who have been through cancer and other conditions that make them a little bit more delicate. So, you know, it's a little bit concerning, especially because they're away from me. I'm originally from Dominican Republic. So most of my family is not in the States. So, you know, it's a little worrying, but, you know, we're just staying home and trying to be as safe as possible. And, just doing what we can.
Yeah. Again, the number is 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. WLRN. Again, if you're in any way connected to the restaurant business, tell us about what's going on with you and how things have changed. Maybe your restaurant has stayed open, but, you know, again, you're only doing delivery or takeout. Maybe you had to lay off some workers. How are you doing? Tell us a little bit about your story. Again, 800-743-9576. Mr. Kusher, my understanding is you did have to let go of a lot of your employees. How did you come to that decision?
I have 275 employees, and we unfortunately had to lay off everybody except for the managers. And it really wasn't a decision to be made. I mean, we had to close. There was no way financially I was going to make that last. And I think I'd be financially irresponsible if I didn't have myself set up to reopen when this is ready so they could have jobs when they come in. So keeping them open, I think, would have actually hurt us more to reopening, 2 months or 3 months or however long this is going to last.
And when you made that decision, what's the plan? Like, okay, when everything reopens, I'm going to bring them all back in, or what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the plan. I mean, that depending on how long this lasts, if it lasts a month or two, that's the plan. If it lasts a year, then obviously, who knows what's going to happen. But that's the initial plan. I'm going to reopen the restaurants and thankfully I have enough financially and personally that I can set us up to reopen. Because to reopen a restaurant is going to cost about $20,000 or $30,000 just in inventory and getting yourself set up to reopen.
Yeah,
that's really where it comes down to, which is why I closed very quickly, because I knew that every day we were open, it was just going to lose and soak money out of it.
We've been hearing from some of you already, like Solange Rousselot, the owner of the Patagonia Steakhouse in Miami and the Patagonia Express in Coral Gables. They've had to lay off 16 of their employees.
We tried to do takeout and delivery, but it really wasn't working for us. We couldn't afford it. It's very hard. As a business owner, we try to cope with our employees as much as we can. But this economically, it's going to be very hard. And in the upcoming weeks, if we are able to open again, I hope I have still those customers coming back. Because, when you struggle with money, one of the first things you cut is going out to eat.
Mr. Four, your business has been impacted because of the fact that your regular clients are hotels and weddings. So, that obviously a lot of that is hotels are closed and weddings have been postponed.
Yeah, so for us, it's been... it's definitely shaken us, because as you mentioned, like our main clients are kind of like wholesale clients and we're based off events. So like all of the hotels that we normally sell to were closed, all of the weddings, all the events that we had, for the next couple of months have been postponed, if not canceled. But so we had to basically restructure our operation completely to try to survive, because we did not focus on retail. We do have a storefront, but that was not our main thing. And now we're switching over completely. So we've started doing deliveries. We've started doing, shipping. Right now we're modifying our website so that people can go online and just like order there and get their stuff delivered, but it's not what we originally did. So,
have you retained your staff?
I have one person from my entire staff.
Okay.
I had to lay off two of them, and then the rest of them, we had a lot of interns from Johnson & Wales University. So because the universities are taking all the students out of campus, they had to go back home, so they were not able to complete their internships.
I see.
So they're going to have to do it on the next trimester.
Mr. Kusher, something interesting that we heard just a moment ago from Solange Rousselot, again, is that this concern of will the customers come back? How will they come back? What do you think is going to happen, when finally we can just say we're reopened, let's get back to business, let's get everything going? Do you think the customers are just all going to be there, or do you think it's going to be a slow kind of trickling in?
Honestly, that's my biggest concern, and most people aren't talking about that. That's actually the first person I've heard really kind of say that. That's my biggest concern. It's not reopening. It's how many restaurants are going to last once they reopen, because this is affecting everybody. It's not affecting just the restaurants. I mean, if you're a realtor, you're Brightline, if you're anything, your income is getting less. And the reality is you're not going to be eating $15 burgers or going to Lobster Tuesdays right when this is over. You're probably going to be a little bit more frugal. And she said it exactly how it is. I'm very concerned that the business will not be the same. And I'm very concerned for more of my friends and peers that have restaurants that are not as established and won't make it after those 3 months after they reopen. That's the big concern for me.
I'm talking with a panel of restaurant and bakery owners, Matt Kusher, owner of Kusher Hospitality, and baker Sarah Tafour of Sarah Lou Confections. We want to hear from you. If you work in the food industry, what are you doing to stay in business? How has your business changed? And what do you think is going to happen when we can finally reopen things? Do you think customers are going to come back in droves, or will they come back slowly? The number again, 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. I want to bring in a restaurant owner in Broward County now, Alex Cook with Temple Street Eatery in Fort Lauderdale. Mr. Cook, thanks so much for joining us.
Good afternoon, everyone.
So what are your precautions your employees are taking every day to protect them? I mean, how many employees do you still have?
We've been fortunate. We've been able to keep most of our staff on, but they've definitely only down to one shift or two shifts a week. Precaution-wise, you know, we've followed the city's mandate where everyone's wearing gloves as always, but now we're also wearing masks, shields. We've had sanitizers where people pick up and take out. We don't let anyone actually come into the restaurant. We have a table outside, which we can do touchless delivery and takeout.
And your delivery drivers, are they wearing protective gear and everything?
When we do our own deliveries, yes, and then also delivery dudes, we all partner with them, and they take the proper measurements to ensure safety as well. We've also had to think outside the box. My business partner, Diego, has created us. We're becoming a TSE market. You know, we saw there was a need in the community for basic needs, chicken, beef, toilet paper. So we got some of those through our suppliers, and we also were able to, you know, help the community out by selling those raw products to the community around us.
Yeah.
That's all in need. So we've definitely changed, you know, from being Temple Street Eaters to a little bit of a market.
I want to go to the phones now. We're getting a lot of calls in. This is an industry that's just been hit so hard here in South Florida because we depend so much on it. I want to go to Xavier in Miami. Xavier, thank you so much for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Well, I just wanted to say I'm a line cook, and I've been working at a restaurant that's been in business for over 36 years. We had to shut down our front of house servers and busters, so they've been out of work for a couple of weeks now. But you know, with the lack of business and everything, I'm really worried about the next couple of months.
Yeah, and it's the idea too that, like, when do we open? When do we reopen? And Xavier, just your thoughts. When we do, do you think? Because I've already asked, you know, Mr. Kusher, do you think the customers are going to come back right away?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, our business has dropped significantly. But we do have a good amount of takeout, but I can't see the same numbers happening after all this is over.
Well, Xavier, at least you're still working. Stay safe. Thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, we all share your concern. This is these are very strange times, very, very strange times. Thank you so much for the call. Mr. Four, you're dealing with a lot more delivery, as you said. I mean, you know, what are the challenges with that, but also what are the precautions that you have to take?
Well, the same thing that he was saying about not having people in. So we have a very, very small kitchen and it is open. So unfortunately we had to close our doors completely. So now when anybody's coming to pick up anything, we have to take it outside because, you know, like, the only way that we have to protect our customers is protecting the product that they're going to consume. So for a lot of people that are, we have a lot of locals. We're in a very family-oriented neighborhood. So, like, the people that are coming are repeated customers. And it's really hard to kind of, like, see their faces. They're very disappointed because they can't come in. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. But we definitely have to do that. For the deliveries, we're obviously wearing gloves, masks, trying to sanitize everything. We're even double bagging the product so that people can kind of like just discard the first bag and
right.
You know,
Mr. Kusher, what about supply chains? Are they getting timely deliveries into the shops?
Yeah, I haven't really had any problems with the supply coming in. I'm not sure if anyone else has, but mine has been good. We also went to a limited menu, so I'm not ordering as much. Obviously, I'm trying to go through as much inventory as I have. But that hasn't been an issue, thank goodness.
And have you heard from those companies that are supplying, doing those deliveries, they haven't been affected? Are they? The truck drivers are still out there, right?
Yeah, they've obviously been greatly affected. Like I said, it's not just restaurants; it's everybody that's around them. They've actually, I have some good partners and people that I work with, and they've been very good to us. You know, starting today, I'm going to go and try to start feeding all my employees once a day that need to be fed. So we're going to make a huge employee meal. And our food people actually are partnering with us and helping us cover some of those costs, you know, to feed how many other, I don't know how many people are going to end up coming, but, you know, if we have 275 employees, I don't know if 100 people and their kids are going to come. And they've been good to help us with that, and so we're going to start that program this week.
Yeah, wow, that's fantastic.
You know, I have to say that, you know, really, this has really been good for us as a restaurant community. I think Matt and I both, and my business partner, all graduated from FIU Hospitality Chaplain School, and this Chaplain School has really been a great resource for us and this industry to be able to figure out what to do, how to apply for our SBAs, and really, you know, give some direction on legal matters, marketing matters. So it's really great that the community is coming together to help one another and communicate and talk.
And Mr. Cook, as you said, you know, with you, you're actually selling some of your extra supplies. You're selling them.
Right, whatever we got. I mean, we're trying to be like your good old neighbor. If you need, you know, some rice, some sugar, eggs, you know, if we've got it, we'll gladly, you know, of course, we're not going to, you know, price gouge or anything. We've actually pretty reasonable. So we're just trying to help out the community best we can.
Again, we want to hear from you. If you work in the food industry, how the business has impacted your life, how business is doing right now, considering coronavirus is impacting all of our lives. The number again, 800-743-9576. John Burnett, one of the partners of the restaurant Taquiza Tacos, sent us a message. He's had to lay off 70 employees.
For us, it was obviously a terrible thing to have to do. All of our staff are, of course, you know, we're going to call them straight away as soon as we can get operational again. We felt that it was our duty to protect our ability to provide jobs after this. And luckily, our concept's very strong. It should bounce back as quick as any. And so we're confident we can give the jobs back just as soon as the situation allows us.
Well, he is confident that it is going to bounce back. I want to go to the phones now. Claudia in Miami. Claudia, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much.
Go ahead, Claudia.
Yeah, so basically, we're here in Miami. We have a third-party logistics company that specializes in e-commerce, Miami World. And one thing that is interesting is that we have seen a lot of requests from companies in the West Coast that their 3PLs are closing down, but they want to continue in business because e-commerce is booming right now. So it's interesting to see how, yes, retail is full right now, but then people are shifting to e-commerce, and that is bringing it's kind of moving the economy, you know, to different lines of business, which is interesting.
Okay. No, you know what? I mean, yeah, Amazon's busy. Claudia, thank you so much for the call. Amazon's busy. A lot of these deliveries are busy. You know, coming back, though, to this idea of delivery, you know, Mr. Kusher, I'll start with you is, you know, look, we have these services like Uber Eats and StubHub and so forth. I mean, not StubHub, excuse me, Grubhub, basically these services that deliver food. But how are they playing a role in this? Or are the restaurants just deciding we'll deliver ourselves?
So, I mean, I can only speak for ourselves, but, you know, I closed three of my restaurants, so only one of them locale. And technically right now they're essential to survival. I actually, before this went down, was not very pro these delivery services. I actually never used any of them in my restaurants. The ones that we did end up using, we refused to pay any payments, and they just had to be like regular customers and pick it up themselves, and we wouldn't get charged for them. Now we need them, so it's essential. I know in the Grove, I have a restaurant, and Ken Russell's the commissioner there, and him and the bid have set up a free delivery system within the Grove, and that's been very helpful and very appreciative for the restaurants there. But these third parties are a big deal right now, and before this went down, I thought it was a not a big deal and not something I would want to work with, and I had to change that quickly.
Yeah. Mr. Cook, what your take on that?
We've used Delivery Dudes exclusively. They've been great to us, and you know, they've a lot of the partners have all dropped their rates or canceled their rates or given promo codes to help the guests out, help us out. It is essential to the business now because people are told to stay home and don't want to come out, and we're glad that we can still provide the service to them and that they're as a third party able to help assist with that, you know. it's great.
All right. Again, we've heard from a number of folks, again, in the business and how they're being impacted. Camila Ramos, she's the owner of All Day Cafe in Miami, and she has shifted most of her operations to online. Let's take a listen.
Our model has definitely adapted for takeout and delivery. We created this online store, which includes most of our menu. We had to rig the shipping option on the platform to function as our delivery service charge options. And, you know, we deliver to 23 zip codes in Miami. It's we've had to organize very quickly certain routes, how many delivery drivers to have on the schedule. We've created new positions like order managers and had to train a bunch of people up to different and new things just to keep up with all of the changes.
So things are changing. We are being forced to change the way we do business. I want to go back to the phones. Carmen in Fort Lauderdale, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. It's a pleasure listening to all of you. I wanted to remind people that we have to stay optimistic through this hazard. We've been through this in 2008, very difficult times. And as Americans, we're very strong. We're hardworking. I think when the epidemic will go down, we'll be back. Everybody will be back working. We have many locations in Broward and Dayana. Even though we have closed two locations, we continue paying our employees to make sure at least they get, a part-time payment, full-time. The full-timers get full-time pay, even though we have cut out the overtime.
Yeah.
But it's important for us to give in to our employees so they can feed their kids and, keep their essentials going.
Yes.
But I think as a community, I'm not so concerned about the customers not coming back. I think
you're confident.
As American, yes.
Oh, you're confident that they're going to come back. Carmen, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And good to know that, again, you're trying to help your employees as much as possible. As we finish up here, I want to hear from all three of you on this. Mr. Fuhr, I'm going to start with you. As we've been hearing, this is forcing us to change how we do business. Obviously, when things cool down, all of this goes away, we can go back to, opening things up. We can go back to some of what we were doing before, but how do you think this is going to change the way we do business, the food industry? How is it going to change everything permanently? Do you think it will?
I definitely think it will. I do think that we should keep on using all of these measures of hygiene and, like cleaning less and all that stuff. I think that all these precautions should be kept. But definitely for me, it's going to be a huge impact. I don't know what's going to happen after, but I know for sure that my business is definitely never going to be the same, especially now that we're giving it a different approach. And hopefully we succeed and hopefully the customers that have supported us for the year that we've been open, understand these changes and support us as much as I can.
Yeah. Mr. Kusher, what about you? What do you think is going to change in the way you do business from now on?
I don't think I can answer that right now. I could probably answer that in a year from now when I really can reflect on what's going on. I don't think what we're going through right now is going to affect how we do day to day going forward. I just think there's going to be a lot less restaurants in business in 6 months. I think when we reopen, there is going to be a significant amount of restaurants that don't stay open after they reopen. And that's my concern for all the employees that work for those restaurants and for my friends that own those restaurants. And that's the big thing for me. It costs a lot of money to reopen. And when these people reopen, if they're not doing the same numbers that they did before, especially in the summertime, all season in Miami, it's going to be a lot of opportunity for people who want to open restaurants and a lot of bad things for people who own them already.
Yeah. Mr. Cook, what are you hearing, by the way, from your colleagues, other restaurant owners and managers? How are they navigating this?
Everyone is in the same boat. We're all just trying to band together and help each other as much as we can. We're all hoping that this will pass sooner than later. We're hoping that, with the stimulus package that's gone through, that we can get relief sooner than later as well. We understand that it's for the greater good to stay inside, but I think that we're all hoping that we can all just reopen and serve our customers again. Like Matt said, it's going to change the landscape of the entire industry where, it may be a good thing. It's going to change help, with rent. might change with our spaces, because there might be a lot of spaces that are left open. But I think that's also going to change how people, you know, view time with each other. I think people are actually going to come down and sit at a dinner table more and have more conversations, you know, now that they spend so much time at home. But I think generally people are more social, and they eventually will want to come back to restaurants and dine.
Yeah. I want to go back to the phones one more time and bring in Art Friedrich from Miami, from Urban Oasis. Art, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, yeah, tell me a little bit about, because you're a local produce delivery guy.
Well, not really. We are now.
You are now.
Urban Oasis Project, we've been doing for 10 years to create more of a local food movement that's accessible and affordable to everybody. So a lot of that has been connecting farms to farmers markets. We run farmers markets like Legion Park and Market Mondays at the ARSP. And so our whole thing has been to create community, bringing people together. So this has been just a shift in the opposite direction to turn everything into a virtual farmers market. So we've been trying to do that through our website as quick as we can to get a system up and running. So we've been delivering produce from over 20 different local farms and a bunch of our farmers market vendors, as many as we can work with, to put them on our list and have deliveries and drop-off points a couple times a week, so that we can try to keep as many people working as possible, right, having some kind of income, keep the farms producing, because we mainly work with really small farms that are, you know, they're always on the edge financially.
So but I have to jump in. I'm glad to hear that, you know, you had to make the shift. You're making the shift. You're making it work for now, and hopefully that, you know, you can sustain that for a little bit. Art, thank you so much. I want to thank my other guest, Matt Kusher, owner of Kusher Hospitality in Baker, Sarah Tafura of Sarah Lou Confections, and also Alex Cook with Temple Street Eatery in Fort Lauderdale. Thank you, all of you, so much. And stay safe, and best of luck to you, that you can keep going, and that when all of this ends, you can get back to business as usual. Thank you again so much. Thank you for all the calls that have come in. That is Sundial for this Monday, March 30th. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we're going to look at the $2.2 trillion federal stimulus package signed by the president last week. When should you expect to see your check? How is it going to help? Also, we're going to look at the cruise industry. There's a lot of myths that we've got to dispel, and we're going to try to do that tomorrow. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.